Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to the Thistle Rugby Podcast, the only rugby podcast that cares about Scottish rugby. How are you guys doing? It is the end of season review, and to help me chew over the last 12 months of Scottish rugby, I've got two disreputable students to my left. Alan Little, how are you, mate?
Hello.
And to my right, there's Matt.
Man, not too bad. Up early doors, that's the commitment to the pod.
It is commitment to the pod. We're recording this pre-work, so if we are rambling, it's because we've not quite woken up yet. Thanks a lot for joining us on Twitter. On iTunes and Acast or wherever you get your podcasts from. Chatting to us as ever on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod and on Instagram at Thistle_Rugby_Pod. Once again, we have received zero emails in the mailbag, thistlerugby@gmail.com. But we have had this great review from Dan Parks for Scotland Coach. He says, absolutely love listening to the podcast on my commute to work in London. Feels like sitting down in the pub with your mates, chatting about the game, and gives me a weekly injection of Scottish banter. Good insight, good knowledge, and terrible quizzes from Alan make the show a pleasure to listen to.
Happy to oblige.
Happy to oblige. And that comes just one day after the four-year anniversary since Dan Parks retired from international rugby. So great to be chatting about Dan Parks again.
Sad day for all.
An absolutely awful day.
And Alan, instead of the Blue WKD, you decided to make a donation to the Dottie Weir charity.
I did. I mean, I wasn't giving loads, but gave £10.
That's all right. That's a couple of blue WKDs.
Wholesale, that's quite a few.
Two
VSs.
Blue WKDs and Fingers Piano Bar. Thank you very much.
That's decent.
I will take them.
I'm sure that's probably the best donation Doddy's ever had. Very quickly, guys, we are going to skim over the news. There's not been too much since we were last with you last week. We are then going to revisit Scotland's amazing win down in Argentina. And then we're going to look back at the season for Scotland, Edinburgh and Glasgow and ask four questions. What was the moment of the season? What was the low point of the season? Who was the player of the season? And what is your what the fuck moment for the year? So why don't we get kicking off with the news? And Wigan Warriors head coach Sean Wayne is joining the SRU as a high performance coach. He's going to be sort of dipping in and out of the academy and working across all sort of age groups. Guys, what do you think?
I guess I still have these sort of past feelings that the Super League means quite a lot. I remember I used to like watch them on Sky Sports on a Friday night, and it felt like Wigan St Helens was quite a big game.
Oh, definitely.
And the fact that the Wigan head coach would move to Scottish rugby to take up a high performance role just feels relatively strange, but he's obviously been pretty successful in his role. Yeah. And a lot of plaudits both from rugby league and rugby union. So, you know, looks like a great move to strengthen backroom staff.
Yeah, I think actually as well, Super League's probably gone down in standing a bit in the last few years because there's not nearly as much money going in as the Australian League, for example, or most of rugby union. So he's probably, you know, increasing his wage by quite a bit. He's also been at Wigan since 2011. It's a long, long time. Yeah. So maybe he feels like he's sort of achieved as much as he can and wants a new challenge. And sounds like a pretty class gig, to be fair. Scotland team on the rise at the moment.
I think it's quite a good opportunity for Scotland as well, in that we've talked about it a lot, in that their defence possibly sort of flatters to deceive because Johnny Gray makes 50 tackles a game, but we actually are giving away quite a lot. So maybe that external voice with maybe a bit of a different spin on defence could be quite good for the setup.
I think one of the reasons he's joined is because Townsend used to take the Warriors down to Wigan for like a pre-season few days just to like learn different things and teach some different skills and that sort of thing. So he must have really, so he's clearly gone and directly coached with him and thought, this guy, I like his style.
Do you feel there's a bit of a narrative at the moment where Scotland are bringing in a lot of external coaches? There doesn't seem to be many people who are progressing upwards throughout the Scotland coaching system.
I think if you look at the current coaching setup, you've got Richie Gray, for example, who's a breakdown specialist, but he wasn't given much of a chance in Scotland. And it was only under Heineken Meyer, I think, at South Africa that...
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, actually, he's quite good. I think there's definitely some blockages still.
But as we sort of talk about that gap on the playing side between Prem 1 and the professional game, it seems like there's a gap on the coaching side as well. It's very little Prem 1 coaches ever make that step up into the professional setup.
Do you know what the answer is?
Is it Super 6?
It is the Super 6. where we're going to be able to pool the talent of all our high-performance coaches into one league.
Can't wait.
Okay, so we'll see how that gets on. I think at the bottom of the press release, it says he's going to join once his time at Wigan is over, so I'm not entirely sure when that is.
Just ambiguous date.
Ambiguous timing, so we'll keep an eye on that. Announcement coming out of Edinburgh, a bit of a showing of faith in the new Project Cockers. Duncan Hodge and Roddy Grant have re-signed as his assistants.
Well, and loads of other people were trying to get them.
Exactly, yeah. And Scotland legend Al Strokosh has come back from Perpignan to join the strength and conditioning setup at Edinburgh, and he's absolutely massive, so that's surely only a good thing.
I did see him in Edinburgh Airport recently, and he is still massive and absolutely terrifying. So maybe he'll, you know, light a fire under the arse of the Edinburgh players.
Hopefully. Any thoughts on that, Alan?
I would hate to be in the gym with him.
And finally, the other piece of news, and I know this is close to Matt and Alan's heart, Stuart Smallville have made an announcement regarding the Super Six, and I'm trying not to get this wrong. Their third 15s are going to merge with Heriot's to become the Ferry Road Colts or something like that?
Third 15s are going to merge because they're struggling to put out teams.
Yeah.
And they're going to alternate, I think, between playing at Inverleith and playing at Golden Acre week about or whenever they have home matches.
Yeah.
The S1 to S6 academy teams, as they call it, are going to merge and become Ferry Road Colts.
Oh, right, okay.
And then I'm not 100% sure about what happens at the first 15 level. I get the sense that Heriot's are still going to run an amateur team.
Yeah.
Stu Mann will still be a fully amateur team. But presumably if Stu Mann have some decent players coming through, Heriot's can take them.
Into their Super 6.
Into their Super 6.
So this is the first sort of sign of clubs changing their setup to sort of deal with the realities of the new Super 6 coming in. Alan, what did you think of it?
I completely get... Logically, it makes sense. But it's a dark day.
Getting in bed with the nails. Can you believe it?
I was sent a message from a nail acquaintance. I wouldn't call him a friend. Acquaintance.
You can't be friends with any nails.
He messaged me saying, "How does it feel to be standing on the shoulders of giants?" Which was
certainly not a friend anymore.
Yeah, it was a tough Monday morning message to get.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how that goes.
I think
goes
it's probably
on.
The start of more.
Yeah, there must be.
I think we will see that.
If you want to be involved in the Super 6, then, you know.
And maybe see, Watsonians made an announcement yesterday. They've signed three sort of the Scotland under-20s players to play for them next year. And
one of whom was stolen from Stu Mell.
Yeah, one of whom was stolen from Stu Mell. So you're beginning to maybe see the sort of green roots of the top talents heading to those Super 6 clubs.
And I guess if you're an amateur club that's not directly below a Super 6 team, if you want to attract the best amateur players who potentially are looking at trying to make that jump, having that pathway is incredibly important.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we will keep an eye on that. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of more Super 6 stuff to come over the summer. Shall we? I think that's most of the news.
It's been quite a slow week, hasn't it?
It's been a bit of a slow. I suppose it is. We are at the tail end of the tail end of the season, aren't we? So we look back at what was quite a remarkable result on Saturday night. Scotland 44, Argentina 15. Two tries for the outstanding George Horn, Blair Kinghorn, Stuart McInally with a wee pirouette and a run in for the 22. Magnus Bradbury and Doogie Fife crossing for Scotland in what was quite an amazing, I think they scored five tries in the first half. Matt, what were your thoughts on the game?
Well, as I said, we were always going to win by 30 or 40 points. So, and I just love that team.
It is humble pie for breakfast,
yeah,
Matt Hanney.
Massively. Well, we were watching the game and I thought that the first half was going to be a bit of an arm wrestle or a bit of a turgid affair. So I thought, let's just have our supper and we'll catch up in 10, 15 minutes. And
yeah,
by the time that had happened, we were already three tries up. I think firstly, let's look at Scotland and say that they played really, really well. Their attack looked seriously well oiled. Forwards carrying nicely. Hastings in particular running the game very nicely. And George Horn just running incredible support lines. So it looked great. On the flip side, that is the worst Argentina team I've ever seen.
Oh, how bad.
I thought they were going to have a reaction to the fact their coach was being sacked, but they were all over the shop. In defense, they didn't seem interested, and the attack was, you know, you had Landajo and Sanchez controlling the game, and they've got like 160 caps between them. They looked like they had no clue how to run a match. It was bizarre.
Versus the four caps of George Horn and Adam Hastings. Alan, what did you think of the young halfback partnership?
It was interesting. I thought they might change strategy a little bit from the US game, where they brought in Horn and Hogg at first receiver quite a lot. But actually, they kind of kept with that strategy. I think if you look at the number of passes, Hastings made 14 passes, and Horn and Hogg were both only made about 12 and 11. So they're bringing, they're all getting involved around a similar amount. And I don't know whether it's just taken a week for that system to sort of embed in a little bit. But you're right. I think Hastings pulled back quite a lot and kind of let the forwards do their job or sent it across to Hogg and Horn. But when he did get the ball, he just came onto the ball with so much purpose.
Yeah.
And he really takes it to the game line at speed. And I thought really sort of challenged the Argentinian defense.
Yeah. Can I say something? You know, it's game line and not game line.
Yeah, I know that.
You've been saying this like 2 years. I never pulled you up on it. I think it's time.
I know it's game line. And I do know that I realize now that I have been saying game line for the last probably 10 years.
That's fine. You know,
it tends to make more sense if you say the game line. Anyway, sorry, minor point, but I thought I'd pick you up on it.
And I think just when Hastings is taking the ball to line, it just gives... Not only is he making breaks, but you can see all around him, it just drags in so many defenders.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, he's got really excellent feet as well, so he never seems to get too caught up in contact. He always seems to at least make a sort of half break or get on the outside shoulder of his opposite man, which I'm really, really impressed with. And I think the difference between this week and the USA game is when he got in behind, there just seemed to be people sort of streaming through behind him, and there was always options on left and right shoulder, not just him, but when Grigg went through and made that, after our discussions of Grigg not being a great distributor, made that great pass to put in Kinghorn for the second try.
That was generally a class pass. But
I didn't see it coming.
He just chucked up high.
My favourite thing was when, I think it was when Hastings went through for the first try, he had Horn on his inside and Hogg on his outside.
Yeah.
And Horn was literally like, pass to Hoggy. Do not pass it back to me.
I think Hogg would have been in as well.
Yeah.
I think the other thing was that I think the forwards all play. You concentrate on the likes of Hastings and Horn doing the flash stuff. But I thought the forwards, in particular the front row, were incredible. McInally, once again, just carried on his good form, just always offering himself up.
Yep.
And Simon Bergen has been such a success story this year. His defense was incredible, making big hits. Carries well, and I don't think Allendale got as involved as the other two, but he looks fit, and the scrummaging was really solid.
He looks in great nick, doesn't he? I mean, it's amazing when you think about looking back at the season, which we will. Like Simon Bergen, we were really not that huge fans. We were worried about him, and then now he's come on absolutely leaps and bounds. Be that under Cocker's probably, but a little bit of Townsend as well, and being given that opportunity, he's now looking at, as a starter, I would say, for Scotland when we have the full strength team out.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, easy. He's nailed on, and we're worried about not having Nell, but that it looks as if Nell's, I don't know, it's going to be difficult for him to come back.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like such a big issue anymore.
Especially with Dickinson playing. The fact that Dickinson's
back.
Yeah, I guess the fact that Nell and Dickinson, I think even sort of a year ago, we were still sort of hoping that they were going to sort of come back and lead that front row with Ross Ford.
Yeah.
And now, even with all three kind of eternally injured,
yeah,
it's just not that much of an issue anymore.
Yeah, definitely. I also thought fair play to Fraser Brown. Thought he had a really good game.
Apologies, Fraser Brown. Yeah. Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod, Fraser.
To be fair, we weren't slagging him off. We were slagging off the selection.
Yeah.
But he was bloody good.
Yeah, he was good. He was actually getting over the ball quite well.
Yeah, he got a lot of good turnovers.
There's an interview with him in the Times this morning, short piece with where he says that he woke up on the Friday morning and he had like a full back spasm and he couldn't like bend over. Couldn't stand up. Got 3 hours sleep on the Friday night.
And then
he had
like night fevers.
my God.
He's like, for goodness sake.
Night fever.
Yeah. Lovely. That's what you're saying. Or fevers, I don't know, where he's trying to sleep. He's like, the worst thing ever. But the adrenaline got him through, so fair play.
Yeah.
And he's getting married in 2 weeks, so congratulations, mate.
Good luck to him.
I actually think that whole back row played pretty well. I think, obviously, Fraser Brown was just sort of told to get on and jackal and tackle.
Yeah.
And then probably what we're missing in the USA game, I think in that squad that's over in South America at the moment, Denton and Bradbury really are the two main ball carriers.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, they're pretty much the ball carriers of any Scotland squad we could put together at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, I guess there's the thing is, but you would say that they're probably not in a starting Scotland 15.
Not in that back row. You're not.
Not if you're fully fit. Well,
you're going to start Barkley at six, but that's somewhere in that back row as ahead of Bradbury.
If you look at to the autumn though, Barkley will be out because he's injured, obviously.
Yeah.
So
this, I think, it's a really good chance to bring in Bradbury at six.
Bradbury's got to be the starter.
If you're going to stick with Wilson, which I feel like Townsend might do, then you're going to have Bradbury, Wilson, Watson.
I think Denton's had a decent tour, though.
Yeah, so do I.
He does what he does.
Yes.
Which is carry hard and not score tries, losing me money. Very annoying.
He did like your tweet, though.
He did like my tweet, which, is as good as cash.
Yeah. Was it worth the fiver?
Not really. Could have done with that 20 quid. 4-1 for Denton to score at any time is pretty tight.
That's rubbish.
From Paddy Power.
That's absolutely savage.
4-1. Oh. He's never scored before that. Come on. Anything else we need to say on that? I wanted to special mention, I think we've sort of like talked about him all season, but Blair Kinghorn, every game he plays, just seems to be coming on and on. He's just such a quality talent, and it's going to be amazing. I think we've now proven the concept that we were debating about 3 or 4 months ago. Can you put Kinghorn on the wing and have Hogg at fullback? I think we probably can.
I'd like to say that I said put Blair Kinghorn in the wing. I think my words were, should we try Blair Kinghorn at 12?
I still like that idea.
Because I think he's such a strong runner and his distribution is class.
He looks like a 12 as well.
But he's clearly that sort of well-rounded player that going on the wing, even though he's not really played on the wing in the domestic game, he's played, what, 3-4 games now at international level on the wing? Yeah. And he looks absolutely fine. And I think going into the autumn internationals, it's got to be him, Seymour and Hogg. Maitland still stays ahead of him?
I think Maitland's got a lot of credit.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Credit in the bank as being a really solid option.
I'd say he's probably ahead of Byron McGuigan.
Yeah, definitely. Depends how yeah, Seymour might have a lightning start to the season and this rest will do him good.
But the thing is they normally obviously shove Sean Maitland over onto the left wing, whereas I think not, he's played a lot on the right wing in his time.
I don't really know.
And it's whether it's just Seymour, if he does not recapture the form of sort of 12, 24 months ago, does he for the sort of first time in about 4 years?
He's most at risk, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that was Argentina. That is our last international. Next international fixture for Scotland is Wales in the Doddy Weir.
Is that the first
charity?
Game?
Yeah, so we play Wales, then Fiji, then South Africa, then Argentina again at Murrayfield. Argentina will have gone through the rugby championship, which doesn't look great for them. So it'll be interesting to see how they tip up at Murrayfield in November.
Do you not say their first game is against New Zealand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So we're going to play all those matches and then go on another autumn tour. Leave us alone.
Oh my God. So grim.
It's a real sausage factory of international rugby. Right. So that was that amazing result. We'll see what comes of that. Should we look back at the season then, lads?
Let's do it.
Through the four lenses that I mentioned at the start. So let's begin and let's try not to duplicate our moment of the season. I think there's obviously some standout candidates, so I'll get one out there. Calcutta Cup victory in the Six Nations as a moment of the season. How good?
That was really, really good.
And I think there's moments within that. I think there's moments, like tries that you'll remember. The Hugh Jones second try.
Yeah.
When he goes right through, and the Finn Russell pass try.
I think that pass would just be sort of immortalized in Scottish rugby history.
Yeah.
I think Hugh Jones dragging the two English players over the over the line, that was quite incredible.
I mean, literally the whole thing was the best.
The best day of your life.
100 minutes of my entire life.
It was.
Yeah. Being next to the English guys who'd spent 350 quid on the ticket, full-time glass of sherry to celebrate, and then a walk home at 7 p.m. Delightful little day. No, it's, I mean, I think I've never been to a Scotland's win against England before. Mm. And I think sort of the manner of the victory, especially in the first half.
Definitely.
It's, and I think especially the fact it completely changed the narrative of that Six Nations. I know we obviously beat France the week before, but it was a pretty turgid performance.
Definitely.
And I think, to be honest, the outside of that game, we had a relatively poor Six Nations.
It wasn't
I know
great.
We came away with 3 wins. But actually that one game sort of shows what Scotland can do when they hit peak form.
Yeah, I think honourable mentions within the Scotland season, I mean, putting 50 points on Australia in the autumn was pretty outstanding as well. Even though it was against 14 men, that was pretty amazing. And almost beating New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Which I think laid the foundations and maybe the belief of, you know, everything that came after.
Yeah, that was definitely up there performance-wise.
I think
played so well.
Take it from an Edinburgh perspective, I think the Edinburgh win against Glasgow over the Christmas period, in terms of being able to go down to 40 men and sort of come back against sort of
that man. Simon
the Christmas
Bergen.
One. I was going to say the third decider, the third match.
Yeah.
I thought that was their probably best performance of the season in terms of playing a really good style of rugby as well, scoring some nice tries rather than just grinding out the result.
Agree with that. I just think from the Festus one with Simon Bergen, obviously having an absolute brain fart and getting himself red carded and then being 7 to 10 points down, I think the sort of unity they showed to sort of grind that game out kind of showed what they had in their locker for the rest of the season.
I think it was a big part of belief. I think there was still maybe some question over whether Project Cockers was sort of getting off the ground.
Yeah.
They were doing well, but then that sort of led them on a massive streak.
Yeah, definitely. Where they beat all the sort of top tier clubs in the league.
Glasgow moment of the season?
Extra win.
Yeah, the Exeter win. It was a little bit of a dead rubber, though, wasn't it?
It wasn't for Exeter.
Yeah, they need to
I suppose so.
Yeah, that sort of showed what Glasgow could do.
But throughout, I suppose for the rest of the year.
But apart from that, it's quite hard to find one.
They were like unbeaten for like 10 games.
That is true.
Ultimately, it's a disappointing season, and there wasn't actually any a lot of specific high points throughout. Like, they lost their big games.
Exactly, that's the point.
They didn't.
I mean, obviously won a lot more games than they lost. But
so, I suppose the second year in a row that Glasgow sort of lost their big games. They've not quite managed to raise it in the big game. So Saracens last season, Scarlets this year.
Yeah. It's part two of the transition.
Part two of the transition. Transitioning straight into where we're more comfortable in the negativity. Low point of the season?
First 20 minutes of the Scotland-Wales game.
Yeah.
That was really bad.
That was really, you were there sitting with the Welshman as well, weren't you?
It was just sort of, hopes were high. I then pushed my hopes even higher through a combination of being in a bubble of other Scotland fans who were hopeful. And I think just that 20, 25 minutes falling behind and then not having that game plan is one of the most sort of deflating experiences. Yeah,
it was so bad. I think looking back at it, we were really confident. And Wales, before the Six Nations, had so many injuries. It was a pretty scratch team with a lot of untested players.
Yeah.
So I think there really was so much momentum behind Scotland. So that was what really killed it.
Yeah, it was like Corey Hill running through the team and doing some offloads. I was like, something's gone wrong here.
I think Edinburgh losing to Treviso about five games into the season. And it was one of their last games at Marseille. And it was just like, oh my God, we're back here again.
Yeah. Same old Edinburgh.
But that was kind of a little bit of a catalyst in that I think they then went on a little bit of a run.
Sort of end of October time. There's not too many lowlights, really. Oh, the loss to Cardiff in the Challenge Cup.
Yeah, that was poor.
I mean, Cardiff did go on to win the tournament, but I feel if Edinburgh could have beaten them and then probably would have gone on to do the same or at least reach the final. So that was, yeah.
You're probably right.
And I was quite disappointed by that.
We've already spoken about it. I'd say Glasgow Scarlets was pretty...
Yeah, although I think the loss to Scarlets wasn't wholly unexpected. I think...
No, probably not.
All of us were... You know, obviously we wanted Glasgow to win, but I am a gambling man, and if I was going to bet my money, I would have put it on Scarlets every day of the week. I think the first Champions Cup game against Exeter, when we went 7-0 up and Glasgow were looking good, and then for basically the next 70 minutes, Exeter just popped it one out to a forward and just ground us down. And I think there was a sense around that game that Glasgow just didn't have that extra gear to compete with the big boys this season.
Yeah. I actually thought the Leinster game, the home match, was the most disappointing because obviously Leinster went on to win the tournament and they are an incredible team, but Glasgow just played very poorly in that game and got overrun and just didn't execute their attack and the defence was poor, and that just seemed to sort of take that form on in the season into the big matches. So that was a shame.
Yeah, I think I was just going to say on another Scotland one, I think on that not performing point, I think the Ireland game in the Six Nations was really disappointing in that we left 14, maybe 21 points on the field and chucked an interception for Stockdale because he gets interceptions whenever he wants.
We didn't deserve to win the game though.
Possibly not. But I think there's an awful lot of opportunities. The 2-on-1, Hugh Jones chucking on the ground with Hoggy that would have put us ahead. I think there's momentum moments within that game which could have changed it. I think we possibly would have still gone on to lose, and Ireland are a great side. But that was a disappointing one, I think, for me. Right, player of the season. I think I've got two candidates. Let me throw out the obvious one. Stuart McInally. What a year.
Big Rambo. Yeah. I think in terms of, I know there's a lot of players that made development, but going from fourth choice hooker at the start of the season.
Third. Probably.
Well, it's behind Ford, Brown.
Oh yeah, maybe fourth, Christ.
And who would the third one be?
Neil Cochran.
Scott Lawson.
Scott Lawson.
So he's third. At Scotland level. I was thinking
at Scotland level. Yeah. To being Scotland captain.
Yeah.
It's got to be one of the most...
And not just Scotland captain, but like an unbelievable performer. You think about Scotland's last five, six fixtures. Has there been any time we've said, Stuart McInally didn't quite have a good game?
No.
Not at all.
His performance has been incredible.
Yeah,
within
definitely.
That role.
But then like, what the hell's been going on for the last... I don't think it's a particular player issue. He's just not been getting the game time.
Yeah, and he's only been a hooker for... What, like 3 or 4 years?
He's been a hooker only 3 or 4 years. I'm sure it's been longer than that.
Maybe it's been longer than that. Maybe I'm wrong.
It just feels, and again, I, I don't think he's been given enough opportunities over the last
probably
5 years.
Not enough opportunity. I imagine that the atmosphere at Edinburgh when they were doing badly possibly wasn't helping him, and he wasn't getting the nod.
But it's the same with, George Turner as well. He was given absolutely no opportunities at Edinburgh, given a shot at Glasgow, and shown that he's probably ahead of someone like Ross Ford in the pecking order at the moment.
Yeah,
absolutely. Other options, George Horn has had a pretty incredible season.
Yeah, I think at club level, again, he was very much a Hawks player at the start of the year with a Glasgow contract.
Yeah, definitely.
And to go from there to potentially being starting nine for Glasgow next season, probably being starting nine and being backup nine for Scotland.
Yeah, I think so.
Is pretty incredible.
Who are you starting for Scotland?
I think you got to start Laidlaw.
Yes. Yes.
We'll cover that off next year.
The only player that does support lines better than Horn is Chris Ashton.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Literally every single try that Scotland scored at the weekend, he either scored it or he was on the shoulder of the person who scored it.
Yeah, definitely.
Literally every single time. And you see it for Glasgow, it's generally unbelievable.
Can I say something about George Horn? I slightly worry that he is this incredible player, but not necessarily an incredible scrum half.
That's fair.
I'm rewatching the first half of the Argentina match. You know, he obviously played very well, but his passing is okay. Like, he picks up from the base a lot and looks for options.
Yeah,
he doesn't whip it as much as, say, even when Hidalgo Klein came on, his pass is a lot nippier. His box kicking is pretty standard. It's not good enough. He kicks it too far. And those are things you can work on, sure.
He is about 13, so he's got a few years to...
But then I think of him as like this amazing bench option that you bring on and just say, you know, do your thing, have a go when defences are tired. I do slightly worry that he might get caught a little bit.
We'll see. In terms of the first season, 12 starts, 11 tries, 8 assists across Glasgow and Scotland. That's not too bad. So I'd say, any other contenders for player of the year?
Renaissance.
Yes.
That's like the achievement award.
No one's done more in a Glasgow shirt.
Most improved player.
They haven't. No one has done more in a Glasgow shirt this season than Rory Jackson.
And you can't deny
that. He was all right for Scotland when he played against Canada.
He was. I think in terms of...
And no one else has launched a successful gin brand as well as...
He's had a good year.
It's a massive year.
I think he got married this year as well.
Mate, the man is killing it.
He's absolutely killing his life.
I think I saw the gin was shortlisted for the Scottish Gin Awards.
Yep, did see that.
Unbelievable. What a year.
I think in terms of just club player, he's...
Club player of the year, easily.
Just a very sort of standard level, like a very good level. Potentially not much great, but definitely not
a lot of bad.
Yeah.
We talked about Kinghorn before. I chuck him in as kind of just excelling for both Edinburgh and the main,
and then Scotland eventually. Really excited about Kinghorn for next year.
Bergen.
Simon Bergen.
Yeah.
In terms of helping to solve an issue, if he can stay fit, I think him, Ramble and Dell could be starting front row for the next three, four years.
Yeah, definitely through to the World Cup.
Fantastic. Okay, then, and to close it off, what the fuck moment of the year?
Hugh Jones dropped 2-on-1 to Hogg.
That was so bad.
That was really, really bad. Losing to the USA is a pretty what the fuck moment.
Yeah.
You said that at the start, just without any context of the players or anything, taking the pitch.
Yeah, even without the context of players, like, what the fuck? I mean, I think it's one of those weird things where now... We've lost to USA and beaten Argentina, and I don't really know what to think.
It's like last summer, Fiji, losing to Fiji after we beat Australia.
This is the concern about Scotland, is we're just going to continue on this bloody roller coaster.
We're going to beat Ireland first game of the World Cup and then lose to Russia.
Japan. But that could happen. Yeah. We could beat Ireland and lose Japan, and we're probably like the only team that could do that.
Yeah.
And well, as you said at some point during the season, that Scotland, for the best or worse, are the most exciting team to watch in world rugby because they can't really defend, they can attack. it's always going to be a high scoring match.
Yeah, I suppose that's
kind of true.
I'd like to give a shout out to the Tooney Tombola for a lot of what the fuck moments just sort of over the course of the season. Yep. Fraser Brown last week was one of them. I think I remember when we sat down and he announced the squad for some of the Six Nations of the Austin Test, and there was like three players that we all had to go and Google, like Luke Hamilton and Chris Harris were like, who the hell are these people? And and like James Lang when he was named in the Scotland team. So I think that's quite fun, this sort of like just every squad, it feels like there's going to be somebody who's on the bench for an English Premiership team that's decided to play for Scotland.
I'd like to see the black book of players around the world who have a Scottish granny. They could Roglic pick up if they wanted to.
God. We could make a fortune if we owned that database.
Yeah, I know.
Let's make it.
Let's do that.
I think one of my what the fuck moments is finding out that Scotland have a talent scout in Japan.
Oh, yeah. And an official tartan in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's like wherever the Scotland's base is at the World Cup next year, they have created a special Scottish rugby tartan for that region of Japan.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why ever not?
You know,
commercial reasons?
How many people are buying that?
Oh my God.
Any other big what the fuck moments from the year? It's been a good year. 34 episodes for us.
Yep, very good. Strong.
Loads and loads and loads of new followers. And we're going to be back next year. Looking forward to it.
Exactly. How long of a break have we got?
We'll play it by year, I suppose.
5 weeks or something?
5 weeks.
Yeah.
Five weeks until we get back into the sort of pre-season. Next year's the big year, the tour to Georgia.
Yes.
Yep.
Is happening, Georgia away.
Edinburgh-Newcastle away.
Edinburgh-Newcastle
away. Glasgow, one of the French matches away.
Lot of good options.
Potentially Scotland-France in Paris.
Yep.
Yes.
Working on tickets for that.
Definitely.
If anyone wants to give us tickets, then we'll take them.
We are more than welcome. Right, I think it's too early.
I think that's it. We need to go to work.
We're done. Done
yes.
Well.
Thank you Good very shift. Much, guys, for joining us, not only today, but for the rest of the season. Enjoy the summer break. Keep in touch with us on Twitter, @ThistleRugbyPod, on Instagram, @Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And if you are ever bored, please do send us an email, thethistlerugby@gmail.com. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good summer.
See ya.
Cheers.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.